Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Unity Center of Light. Today is October the 22nd, 2023, and we have an exciting day planned for you. We're shaking things up a little bit since the ministers are away. We will play, right? And we've invited a very special guest to share with us today, Reverend Galen McDowell. Some of you are already familiar with him. But let's get started this morning by sharing together our mission and foundation statements. So please join me. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine identity. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And our foundation statement, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the good, omnipotent. Amen. And so it is. So before I invite Pam Leek to do the daily word for us, I'd just like to take a moment and welcome anybody who's with us for the very first time. If you'd like to connect with us, you can put your name and email address in the chat, and we'll be happy to put you on our weekly communications list so you can know about what is coming up. So, Pam, I'd like to invite you to share the daily word with us.
Good morning. Today's daily word message is grace. I walk in grace and peace. Today, I give thanks for the activity of God in my life that appears as grace. This divine gift manifests as the beauty of the world and people in it, and as the comforting presence of God within and around me each day. I do not have to do anything to earn grace, because it is not the result from my attitude or actions. It flows from the infinite love of God within every person and surrounding every circumstance. It is the indwelling presence that sustains me in challenging times and lifts me in good times. I accept grace and gratitude when I have stumbled along life's path and received unexpected blessings. This boundless love fills my heart with bliss and peace. I live in the presence of infinite love, believing each unfolding event in my life is leading me to my highest good. And the scripture reading is from Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. My grace is sufficient for you.
Thank you, Pam. What a perfect, perfect reading for today. So we're going to start off a little bit differently than we normally do. Reverend Galen would like to set us up for the rest of our time together today by starting out with a meditation. So I'm going to say, take it away, Reverend Galen.
Hello, everyone. If everyone can just center themselves for a moment as we tune in, as we do a divine check-in. Take seven deep breaths. Now, softly affirm three times, the Christ of God is awakened in me. together. The Christ of God is awakened in me. The Christ of God is awakened in me. The Christ of God is awakened in me. Take three deep breaths. Now, I would like everyone to place your attention on the crown of your head. And we're going to say the same affirmation again. Take some time just to pull your attention to the crown of your head. And let us softly affirm together, the Christ of God is awakened in me. Together, the Christ of God is awakened in me. The Christ of God is awakened in me. The Christ of God is awakened in me. Take three deep breaths. Now, I would like you to affirm as you do this visualization. I want you to visualize saying, when you say, I am, energy at the crown of your head. And then when you say, all that God is, energy going down through your body all the way through to your feet. So again, as a reminder, when you say, I am, energy, attention at the top of your head, the crown of your head. When you say, all that God is, energy going down through your body all the way down to the soles of your feet. We're going to do this 7 times. All right, together. I am all that God is. Don't forget to breathe. I am all that God is. 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 Now, as you center yourself in this awareness, recognizing that the activity of God is flowing from the top of your head to the very soles of your feet. In this conscious awareness, we will now affirm, God is my health. I am divine health. Together 3 times. God is divine. God is my health. I am divine health. God is my health. I am divine health. God is my health. I am divine health. Now breathe 3 times as you contemplate that thought. Now we're going to affirm, God is the source of my supply. I am prosperity. 3 times together. God is the source of my supply. I am prosperity. God is the source of my supply. I am prosperity. God is the source of my supply. I am prosperity. Take 3 deep breaths. We recognize right here, right now, that we are open and receptive to the spirit that not only indwells us, but the spirit in which we live, move, and have our being. We are one with the source of all good. We are one with God. and all is well. So we can collectively say, amen, and so it is.
Thank you, Reverend Galen. That was a good preparation. I feel healthy, prosperous, and in divine order.
All right now. All right.
So Reverend Galen is with us today from actually really the fortunate circumstance of my being associated with Reverend Saba Mkhanguzi, who was part of the People of African Descent conference that was held at Unity Village going on a couple of years now. I think they're going to repeat it again in 2024. I was exposed to his speaking and teaching at that point in time, and then reminded myself some more about it from the podcasting that he has done and has been doing for a very long time. Before I even knew what podcasting was, he's been doing it. He is affiliated with the Universal Foundation for Better Living and was a student of Reverend Johnny Coleman, who many of you know was an ordained Unity minister and then went on to create her own branch of New Thought under the banner of Universal for Foundation for Better Living. And we invited Reverend Galen earlier this year to participate in our Eastern Region Annual Conference. And it was a match made in heaven. He wanted to speak and preach with us about our legacy of prosperity and abundance in unity and all New Thought religions, actually, because we're all brothers and sisters, that's for sure. So I was excited when he was interested in coming and sharing with us today. And today he's going to be speaking to us about creating a new life story and connecting that with Bible scripture as well. So Reverend Galen, without further ado, I'd like to let you say the important stuff.
Okay. All right. Officially, hello, everyone. I didn't want to do that during the meditation time. I want to thank April and everyone who's involved in bringing me in today. I appreciate it. I love the opportunity to share our New Thought message with as many people as I possibly can. And I'm dedicated to this process. I've been teaching New Thought now for almost 28 years. So, yes, I started rather young, and it's important to me because I know that this message transforms lives. It helps heal souls. It helps heal bodies. It helps create divine order and circumstances when we apply what we learn. So today, I'm going to be talking about a few things, but I do want to, just in case, because you did mention my podcast, so everyone knows my podcast is Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. Truth Transforms with Reverend Galen McDowell. And you can get it on the mindbodyspirit.fm website or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Podbean, or wherever they carry apps. I've been doing it now for 11 plus years. So back when people thought it was a radio station. All right. So again, today my story, my sermon, lesson sermon is creating a new life. And it's based upon a scripture that I want to read first before I get into my lesson. The scripture is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Now I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Your version might read a little bit differently, but I just want to make sure that you have it. It reads, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Now, creating a new life story. And what does it mean when we say if anyone is in Christ and everything is made new? That's what we're going to address today. So let me start off with the process of what's your story? See, I believe everyone has a story. I believe everybody has a way in which they see life. Everyone has the quote unquote rose colored glasses in the context of everybody has a particular paradigm through which they see life. A paradigm is a standard, it's a perspective, it's a set of ideas, it's a belief system. It's often unconscious. It's your context. It's your way at looking at something. It's your way of looking at life. It's how you show up in the space. And because all of us have a story, because all of us have a paradigm, because all of us have a context, we believe that our story is true. And what I'm challenging today is that your story that you've been telling yourself and the story you've been living out might not be in alignment with your true, authentic, spiritual self. Now, this is important because people go through things. And when we go through things, often we try to make sense out of everything. So we do the best we can to come up with conclusions so our minds can go on with life. You know, ever been stuck contemplating something and you had to come up with some conclusion. And then once you had the conclusion, you went on. The challenge with that is sometimes the conclusions that we come up with are not necessarily consistent with being the image and likeness of God. Sometimes the conclusions that we come up with aren't consistent with, I am a spiritual being living in a spiritual universe governed by spiritual law. Sometimes those conclusions aren't consistent with the truth of our being. We tell ourselves stories. Often when you listen to psychologists, many of the stories that we live out were created when we were children. We created conclusions based upon our limited understanding of what was happening in our world. And then we live out those stories unconsciously without ever stopping to evaluate why we believe what we believe. Why are we behaving the way we behave? Why do I talk the way that I talk? Why are the same things happening to me over and over again? We don't stop to evaluate it. We never stop to ask ourselves if the same type of people are showing up and the same type of circumstances are showing up, there has to be a common denominator. And that maybe that common denominator is something that's going on in me. You know, I'm a big believer in trying to make new thoughts sound simple. And I use basic language. One of the things that I say to my students often is that you are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. Get that? You are a mental field. Yes, you're a spiritual being, but you are a mental field. As Emmy Fox would say, life is consciousness. You are a mental field that is always radiating and attracting. Wherever you are right now, even if you're not on screen, just do that. I am a mental field that is always radiating, do your hands like that, and attracting. Now, what am I radiating? What are you radiating? We are radiating our own dominant thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. We are radiating our own dominant. Now, all of it is in there, but you know, there's certain dominant things that are happening in our consciousness. I'm not talking about surface stuff that comes and goes. I'm talking about a belief is what you accept is true. That radiates. It goes before us to create the experience of us. What are we attracting? That which corresponds or that which is in alignment with what we are radiating. Now, why is that important? It's important because if my story isn't empowering, then I have to attract back to me that which will not only correspond, but reinforce the story that I have. Make sure you just take a moment to breathe. Now, if all of us have a story, where did the stories come from? Again, childhood, life experiences, pain, pleasure, all different types of things that we make up as we perceive life. But what it really comes from is meaning. We give meaning to everything in our lives. What you make a thing mean for you is what has to play out in your life for you. You know, the church that I actually work at is Christ Universal Temple. It's the founding church of the Universal Foundation for Better Living. It's the mother church. And the main chapel is rather big. It's 3,000 seats. And I'm pretty sure within a few seconds, if that chapel was full, I could find my daughter in the midst of 3,000 people. Why? Meaning, because it's important for me to be able to block out and zero in, where is my child? That's meaning. Now, I might not be able to find your child that fast, but I can find mine, and vice versa. That's meaning. If I'm going through a situation and circumstance, depending on the meaning I give situations and circumstances, they can be empowering or disempowering. Not because of the circumstance, but solely based upon what I'm making it mean for me. That's why two people can go through the exact same experience at the exact same time and have two totally different lived experiences. Because we're not just encountering factual situations, we're encountering factual situations through the lens of our own belief system, through the lens of our own story. And because we are the ones that are creating it, we believe that it is absolutely true, often without any evaluation. But all of us have a story. You know, Tony Robbins often says that happiness is often dependent upon two basic variables: where you think you should be in life and how close you are to it, and how far you're away from where you think you should be in life. And people often judge themselves based upon how close they think they are or aren't from where they think they should be. And then they choose, even though it's unconscious, to give meaning to that process. So how do you work with that? You work with that by either changing the meaning, okay? Like literally, what does that mean? Okay. Or you can change the goal. But the saying that I'm deciding that my happiness is dependent on where I think I should be, based upon a set of values and circumstances and how you are choosing to grade yourself based upon something that is completely subjective, is a way of potentially disempowering yourself. Hopefully this is making sense. So what I want to do with you today in creating a life story is to help you understand that you don't have to stay in a disempowering story. Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote the Conversation with God books, once said, this is a paraphrase, I don't know if it's exactly the same, exactly the way he said it. Someone is going to program your mind. Well, he said condition. He didn't say condition. He said, someone is going to condition your mind. I'm going to say program. it might as well be you. Someone is going to program your mind. It might as well be you. If you're not actively programming your own consciousness, life will program it for you. There is no such thing as a neutral mental position. Why? Because we're being inundated with information all the time. Not just news, but just living. The five senses are always bringing information into you. So you have to take conscious control over your own consciousness. You have to take conscious control over what you choose to contemplate. You have to take conscious control over what you are putting your mental energy towards. You have to take back control of your own awareness. So, one of the ways in which you can do this is going back and looking at the allegory of Adam and Eve. And I say allegory because, you know, no mainstream scholar worth his or her salt would teach that this is a literal story. I know that some people still do that. A lot of people still believe it. But as metaphysical Christians, as New Thought Christians, we can look at this a little differently. One of the things that is stated in the Adam and Eve story is that the Lord God brought everything to Adam, all the animals, and whatever Adam named them, that's what they were. Metaphysically, one of the metaphysical interpretations of Adam is the thinking conscious phase of mind. What is your thinking naming a thing? Because name means nature. What is your thinking calling a thing? Let me give an example. You have a health challenge. You're going through the circumstance of doctors, medicine, and things of that nature. What are you choosing to name it? Can you name your body, your organ, your cells, your bloodstream, whatever it is, good in the midst of the challenge? Because whatever you name it, that's what it is for you. It takes on a nature, because name means nature metaphysically. It takes on a nature for you. What do you call it? One of the things that used to perplex me when I first started attending Christ Universal Temple is when Reverend Dr. Johnny Coleman would tell us to whatever the situation was, name it good. And I was like, what? This raggedy this and this breakdown of that, name it good. What she was trying to do is help us shift our thinking away from contemplating the breakdown to opening ourselves up for the breakthrough. And one of the ways in which you do that, and one of the ways in which you create a new life story, is by affirming the good in the midst of the storm. By recognizing and affirming your spiritual wholeness in the midst of the experience. As Joseph said to his brothers after he went through all of those things in the Bible with being left in a ditch for dead, sold into slavery and prison, becoming the second in command of Egypt, and then they needed his help. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. That didn't mean that God needed him to go through prison and enslavement and all and left in a ditch for dead. What it meant was Joseph chose to give it an empowered meaning. He changed the story. He changed the narrative. He refused to live out of something that disempowered him. And you don't have to live out of something that disempowers you. So you get to name it. You get to take your wallet and start affirming prosperity for your wallet or your purse. I tell people, open up your bank app on your phone and put your hand over your phone and bless the money in your bank account through the bank app. You have to start naming what it is that you say you desire. That's how you create a new life story. Life is not going to actively change without your mentality change. You know, as H.M. Willie Cady says in Lessons in Truth, supply comes after demand. There is no supply without demand. Now, we look in the human world, we say supply and demand. But from the spiritual perspective, it's demand and supply. And many people are waiting for supply when they have not made a demand. And you make a demand with what you think, how you feel, what you say, and what you do. That's your demand. That's the naming power. So if you have a Bible, talking about creating a new life story, I want you to turn to Matthew, the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. I'm going to read it again from the New Revised Standard Version. Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks, receives. And everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Now, a person will read that scripture and say, well, I have been asking and I haven't received. And I've been searching or seeking and I haven't found. And I've been knocking and the doors of possibility haven't been opening. But let me just look at this within the context of creating a new life story. What does it mean to ask spiritually? What it means to ask spiritually is to have the mental equivalent of what you say you desire. You have to have clarity of thought and conviction of feeling. They have to come together. Clarity of thought. How well can you see what it is you say you desire? How real is it for you? Conviction of feeling. You got to know in your gut is yours. All right? As Reverend Ike would say, feeling gets the blessing. But it can't bless what you can't see. That's why you have to have the clarity of thought first. When you have the clarity of thought, and then the conviction of feeling, now you're asking. What is another way to ask? Speaking the word for what it is you desire. Affirmations. Are you actively affirming what it is you desire? Visualization. Can you see? That's the clarity of thought. Can you see what it is you say you desire? Then there's search or seek. Seeking you shall find. When I tell people to seek, I tell people to seek in the from this analogy. Have you ever needed to get somewhere and you lost your keys and you really needed to leave the house? When you can't find your keys and you got to get to work or go pick up the kids or get to that appointment, the only thing that matters in that moment is finding your keys. It might be a lot of stuff in your home or your apartment, but your laser beam focus is on finding your keys. Often we say we're seeking a thing and we're mentally distracted. We need to look like those horses. They put the blinders on the horses when at the racetrack. They do that so they're not distracted. Oh, what's the other horse doing? And that's what we do in life. Instead of keeping our minds on the main thing, keeping our attention on the main thing, we're all over the place. But just like the horses, where your attention goes, your power flows. Now, knock. Knock to me symbolizes strong persistence. Are you persistent in your mind in your words and in your actions toward what you want to demonstrate. What's the difference between a light knock and the police knocking on your door? The police knock on your door with the intention of the door being opened. We knock, oh, nobody answered, let me leave and go away. Versus, I'm coming back, and I'm coming back, and I'm coming back. I live in a neighborhood where that particular religion that comes and knocks on your door and ring your doorbell shows up on during the week, on Saturday mornings often. It doesn't make a difference how often I don't answer the door. Guess what happens? They still come back. Persistent. Are you quick to give up on what it is you say you desire? Are you persistent? Like literally, are you persistent? Are you knocking like, no, my good is here. I'm keeping my mind here. I'm keeping my words here. I'm keeping my actions here. I see my good. I feel my good. I know my good. I'm convicted. I'm knocking on the door possibility, and I'm not going to let this go until it blesses me. That's a different perspective. So when the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, now we're talking about having a different type of paradigm. Because if my consciousness is in Christ, in other words, it is in alignment with my own spiritual wholeness, with your own spiritual wholeness, the Christ in you, the I am in you, not just Jesus, the man who lived 2,000 years ago, but in this Christ awareness, this Christ consciousness, this higher way of looking at life, if any person is in this higher spiritual awareness, now life looks new. So why do you pray? Why do you meditate? Why do you deny? Why do you affirm? Why do you visualize? Why are you reading scripture and the new thought books and journaling and all of these type of things? So you can, as much as you can, turn your attention away from the world and get your mind in Christ. Because when you get your mind in Christ, that's a new paradigm. That's a new context. Now, that situation and circumstance that was a problem isn't a problem anymore, because the problem is only determined by your level of understanding. Your understanding determines if something is a problem or not. You know, I don't know if I shared this at the prosperity thing I did for the Eastern region, but I remember one time my SUV, my old Cadillac truck was stuck at the Super Target when I was in another city. And I called my insurance to send somebody to tow my car to the dealership. When the guy pulls up 30, 45 minutes later, I have the hood up, I'm sitting in my truck, and he says, okay, I'm here to tow your car, but before I tow it, can I just look under your hood? Yes. He was under there 45 seconds. He said, try to start it now. Car started immediately. I mean, the truck started. What was the difference between me and the tow truck driver? Understanding. Understanding determines if something is a problem or not. So in Christ, what used to be problematic now only is seen as possibilities and infinite potentialities, because you're in Christ. You're looking from the standpoint of, with God, all things are possible. You're looking at it from the standpoint that I can act, seek, and knock. You're looking at it from the standpoint of, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto me. You're thinking from the standpoint of, I'm an individualized expression of the one presence and one power we call God. Now, this is why you do your spiritual work, so you can get your mind in Christ and out of the crisis. So as I wind down, I always like to leave people with something specific that they can do. I'm a homework kind of guy. So this is what I pulled up. This is from an old book, and you can find it online, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. If you go into the chapter Desire, there is, in my book, because I have an original unabridged, it's a page, 42. He calls it the, he uses six definite practical steps to get your good. Now, he's using this in the context of money. You can use it in the context of everything. So again, it's the chapter Desire, and it's six definite practical steps. I'm going to read them, and then you can apply it to money. You can apply it to health. You can apply it to relationships. You can apply it to your business. You can apply it to anything you want. As Reverend Coleman used to say, it works if you work it. Now, this is what he wrote. Six, he says, the method by which desire for riches can be transmuted into its financial equivalent consists of six definite practical steps. Number one, fix in your mind the exact amount of money you desire. It is not sufficient merely to say, I want plenty of money. Be definite as to the amount. There is a psychological reason for definiteness, which will be described in a subsequent chapter. Number two, determine exactly what you intend to give in return for the money you desire. There's no such reality as something for nothing. Number three, establish a definite date when you intend to possess the money you desire. Number four, create a definite plan for carrying out your desire and begin at once, whether you are ready or not, to put this plan into action. Number five, write out a clear, concise statement of the amount of money you intend to acquire. Name the time limit for its acquisition. State what you intend to give in return for the money, and describe clearly the plan through which you intend to accumulate it. In other words, step five is to put all steps one through four together in a concise statement. Number six, read your written statement aloud twice daily, once just before retiring at night and once after arising in the morning. As you read, see and feel and believe yourself already in the possession of the money. Now, in closing, because you can pull up Think and Grow Rich for free online. You don't even have to go buy the book if you don't want to. That's your homework that I'm giving you. Work through those six steps, whatever it is. If it's money, if it's health, if it's relationships, if it's business, it's success, your church, whatever it is. Apply those steps. And again, it works if you work it. God bless.